back into the Word of God. I'm going to take my text from Luke. Luke chapter 1 and verses 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Now mark these words of the angel. "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting was this. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the throne of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Verse 37. "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be unto me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. He's not departing until she accepts this. Father God, just anoint your word. In the shortest possible time, let this word carry meaning and bring change to all of us here in Jesus' name. Now, my subject today is, can God entrust you with trouble? What a theme. Can God entrust you with trouble? There is a situation here. Joseph has just seen a beautiful girl in town. And I was listening to one of the theologians and said, Jesus' town was a little town. It had only 11 homes. That's how small Nazareth was. Very humble, town of 11 homes. So Joseph had just seen a wonderful girl, beautiful girl, for marriage, to live for life. And preparations are going on, and the meetings, I can figure out their sitting, and all suggestions are being given, and all the money is collected to do a wedding. And Mary is getting ready. The aunties in Africa, the aunties will sit down the girl and they tell her all the things about marriage, about handling a man, and you know, things are going on. And then suddenly, without any prior information or warning, an angel comes to the girl and said, "You're going to be pregnant. And this pregnancy is not of Joseph. It is of the Holy Spirit." Huh? Yes, but the angel first said, "Blessed are you, rejoice, blessed are you, you're blessed among women." But when you look at the message the angel is giving, the angel is bringing trouble to this young girl, to a very difficult, tough culture, where you are not allowed to become pregnant before marriage. Remember my theme. Can you handle God's, can God entrust you with trouble? Now God is entrusting trouble, he's introducing trouble to this young girl. She could be killed in Israel. Israelites don't joke, they don't go to court. It's mob justice, they just kill you there and then. So the angel is giving a very difficult message to this young girl. And he has not contacted Joseph yet. God can be interactive. God can intervene in your plans. He will not give you prior warning. But God had just intervened in Katie's life. She's going to live a different life. She's going to a different country. And that's what God can do. I was doing my own things, and God interrupted and called me. It wasn't easy. So Mary is there, and she's troubled. And said, how can this be? You're bringing trouble. Can you say I'm favored among us to women with this kind of message when you're risking my life? I could be killed. So the angel explained, because he's not going back until she accepts. You know the story. So, and I think I can see her mind thinking, how am I going to explain it to Joseph? But then she accepts and says, she said, how can this be? And the angel said, the power of the Most High will come and overshadow you. Now that word overshadow is also the medical word called anesthesia. Is that how you call it? When you're given chloroform and you can't feel anything. So God said, I think you're now putting some logic. How is this going to work? Because when God calls, when God tells us things, we want to add our logic and things don't add up. God, things cannot add up using our logic. So, she was trying to use, how can this going to be? How is this going to be? And the angel said, okay, I'm going to give you anesthesia. So, the power of the Most High will come overshadow, because when I overshadow, you cannot see what's in front of you. So, she can no longer feel how it was going to take place. So, the power of the Lord will come and overshadow, and then you will conceive. And immediately the power of the Lord came, and before she knew, when she woke up, she had a baby in a womb. So she said, let it be. I'm just your maid servant. Let it be according to your word. Now, I'm here to challenge you, folks. I'm here to challenge you, brothers and sisters. God is calling you. He's calling me. He's calling young people. He's going to intervene in your work. He's going to intervene in your finances. It's going to intervene in your lifestyle. Will you accept? It's a big challenge to Christians today. Christianity is being wiped away now. You know, many religions are coming in. Our nations are being taken by foreign religions, false gods, and the church is seated back, doing nothing. Thank God we are praising in our beautiful places like this, but God wants us to go out. Will you take that trouble? I want to charge you. Are you going to let the church die, or you are going to rise for God? Will you take the message? Will you conceive the message of the Lord? Will you take out the gospel to the lost ones? Will you defend your Christian faith? And Mary said, let it be according to your word. It was very difficult because this means canceling her wedding. And when Joseph learned of it, the Bible says he did what I call tactical withdrawal. He said, now I cannot, he kind of said, because he planned to leave this girl secretly. He cannot stand the shame. Joseph did not understand properly how these things are. Maybe Mary has misbehaved. Maybe she has sinned. She's now pregnant. Now she's telling me stories. I don't understand. This thing has never happened before in scriptures. How can I take this girl? And he planned to leave her secretly. And Mary is in trouble now. Her wedding cannot take place because God has intervened. Sometimes when God intervenes, we cannot finish our plans. Will you follow his voice when he calls? It's the song we've been singing. See, it is easy to do it in a song. Sing the words, but doing it is the most difficult thing. When he intervenes, will you wake up? Will you say, okay, I'm dropping my wedding. I'm dropping my plans. I'm going to serve the Lord. To come on earth, go get your degree, earn a living, get pension, and die. No, he wants to use you. He wants to send you out in any way. If there are people coming out, or they're going out to India, or going out to Australia, going out to Uganda, you may not want to come maybe, but support them. Get involved in God's work. It's what I came to charge you to do. And this will not go on without God intervening your plans, intervening your comfort zones. Amen. So you have to go. Anyway, Mary is looking at this son, and when this son is born, anyway, it was shorter. Joseph, the angel approached Joseph, and he explained everything, and then the son was born. And when the Son of God must be born on earth, is he going to be born in the stable? He should be somewhere glorious, in a hotel, in a precious inn. But then he was born in a manger, in a stable, something that is really low. I like the way God does his things. And Mary, is this the most highly favored woman whose child is born? Is this the Son of God who is born in the stable? Is that the most favored woman among us women? And when her son grew up, Mary is moving with this son. She doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know what it's going to become. So one time, he was found in the temple when at the age of 12. And when she came back, you know, looking for him, he said, "Don't you know that I'm supposed to be in my father's house?" And Mary's looking at this strange son. Now, she really knows it is not Joseph's son anyway. She's a strange son. Now, he's disowning me. "Don't you know that I'm supposed to be here in my father's house?" And Joseph is standing there and he's saying, "In my father's house," and this is not Joseph's house. That's an embarrassment. But Mary is stuck with this ministry. You cannot take her away from that. And then the son grows. After he became 30 years, he started ministry. He's seen in Cana at the wedding. And this son is a special son. When the wine got finished and they couldn't serve anymore, this son just turns water into wine. Somebody in Africa said, "You would have turned wine into water," because I think that would be a better thing. But anyway, he turned water into wine. This is a strange son, and Mary is stuck with this ministry because God entrusted her with his son. Now, he started moving around and left home. He went through Galilee into Capernaum, raising the dead, healing the sick, and healing leprosy, and doing all sorts of things. Wow! The son was at his most highest point. And the ministry seems to be blossoming. And yes, this is the Son of God. He's doing all sorts of things. And then time came again. And he was captured. Now he had to be killed. At the age of 33, this is when parents love us. This is when you want to see your son, you know, at home and doing great things. You want him to marry. You want him to do the things. And now this Jesus has to die. It's very difficult for Mary. But the thing is, Mary is stuck with this son, with this ministry. She's not giving up. I want to encourage leaders who are here, pastors who are here. If God has entrusted you with his flock, there are going to be challenges. Yes, you are the most favored man to do this ministry, but there are going to be challenges. Get, you know, just stick to what God has told you. Move on. Message for you, Kate. There will be challenges and all the things, but Mary, she's a woman, but she's looking at her son. She's being beaten. He's being persecuted, and all things are happening. Let me tell you, yes, God is with you, but it doesn't mean you won't go through challenges. It doesn't mean you won't get sick. Forget about that old message. There are challenges in ministry. I've been there I've been a Christian now for over 32 years. I know what it means. I get sick. I get troubles. I get problems. And doesn't mean God is not with me. I go through storms. And when you are in storms, see, you cannot see God. But it doesn't mean he doesn't see you. So stick to what God has given. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. I've seen people getting challenged in churches that then they have to move church every day, every day, every day. Everywhere you go, you'll be changed. In every church you go to, every community, there will be challenges. But stick to what God has given you. Stick to your Christianity. Stick to serving God with all your mind. Mary is stuck with the ministry. And she's looking at her son being beaten and bruised. And she is there. He's taken to the cross. But Mary is still there, the Bible says. And Jesus is looking at his mother, and the mother is looking at the son. And I believe he's saying, is this the message that the angel gave, that I'm the most blessed woman when my son is like this? Am I the most blessed woman? See, God can tell you things, and they will seem contradicting in the world. But does it mean God is a liar? So whoever I'm talking to, there's somebody here who's doubting whether God called you, whether you're supposed to do what you're doing because of the challenges. Sometimes it is family. And you begin to question, is this my husband? Is this supposed to be my husband? And some people cannot wait and they have to leave their spouses. no marriage that doesn't go through challenges. I've gone through terrible challenges with Flavia. I would have kicked her out of my house, and she would have kicked me out of the house. But we stuck to each other because she's my ministry, I am her ministry. She has to bear all my, you know, things men do. And now for 20 years, we're stuck to each other, you know, and we're not giving up. So it doesn't mean when you go through challenges, you have to give up quickly. Wherever you go, you'll find challenges. Better stick with that challenge that you've got, God has given you until, you know, Jesus died on the cross, but Mary was there. And she was among those women that ran on Sunday morning to see whether Jesus was there. And guess what? Jesus was not there. He had risen from the dead. Now, this is when you see this woman favored. Oh, he's the only man that had risen from the dead after 3 days. And he rose again. He had already demonstrated that in his ministry. Now it has happened to him. Now when he rose again, he could go through walls. You didn't have to open for Jesus for him to come in. He just showed up. You know, now he's a hero. And Mary says, yay, this is my son. You know, it's after many times, many days and many years of suffering that we see victory. That's when Joseph, it is much later when he had gone through working for Potiphar for free, being charged with fabrications, put in prison, but then later he became the prime minister. In the end, God will win. The thing is, God never stops in failure. He never stops in failure. You know, he will always end at victory. There will be victory at the end. There will be healing at the end. There will be joy. That marriage will be celebrated after 50 years. I see people married for 2 years and they think, oh, this is hell. Of course, it must be hell after 2 years. Wait until it is 50 years and then you will celebrate. The ministry will be hard, Kate, yes. But in the end, you will be speaking to presidents. I saw that when I was praying for you. You will be speaking to leaders, prime ministers. And then they'll say, yeah, this is our daughter. In the end, God will win because God never ends in trouble or in failure. No, he always wins. Hallelujah. And I want to finish by encouraging you. Will you go for God? Will you serve him? Will you use your resources to serve him? Will you give your time? I know you are in here, you don't have a lot of time in England. But will you give time to God to serve him in any way possible? You don't have to wait to be all healthy. No, we don't have to feel very good to go and serve God. Go and serve him. Whether it's well or it's not, just serve him. One man said, I waited for success, and because success didn't come, I decided to go without success. But where I went, I found success. You may be sick, but go and serve him. As you serve him, you will be healed. So don't wait until things are okay. When you have enough money, when you have enough of this and that. No. When God called me, it has been a journey of faith. Now I'm overseeing 2,000 churches and non-paid, but it's still a journey of faith. But I also see the joy of serving him. Hallelujah. When he calls you, will you say yes? Will you answer? There are people that God is calling here. And you have stuck with that calling for many years. But you're asking, how can this be? How can I serve God? How can I support this man of God? Some of you are called to become leaders. But you're still there, doing nothing about it. God sent me here to encourage you. Don't wait when it is very okay to do that. You can start now. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Father God, I can see this woman Mary. The message was wonderful when the angel came, but I can also see the trouble she went through. And everything seemed contradicting to what the angel said. But in the end, her son is now the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, everlasting Father, and his kingdom will know no end. When the devil thought he had ended his ministry, he had just started. There are people here that you called to serve you, Lord. They don't know how to start, but I pray that this message will encourage them. I want also to pray for those people who are, if you are sick, just touch where it's paining, because this Jesus can heal. Just touch, I'm finishing, just touch where you're hurting. If you have a backache, if you have a bad knee, if you have headache, you have cancer, just touch where you feel the sickness, because the power of God is present to heal. Thank you, Jesus. This Jesus heals. He healed the sick and raised the dead. He can help you. The Bible says, as they were discussing, the power of God was present to heal. And I can feel the power of God present to heal. Father God, I want to release that power of healing among us, these sick folks, Lord. Those who are hurting their bodies. Those who are hurting emotionally. That family that's struggling right now. Father God, I pray for total healing in the name of Jesus. I take authority over that sickness and I tell the devils and all the sicknesses and all the diseases, all the reports that doctors have given, in the name of Jesus, I cancel everything now. For the glory of your name, let your power hit this place and heal your people. I've seen you, Lord, everywhere I go, healing people. Heal them, each one of them. And I pray, before we leave here, there will be miracles and wonders. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to me. In Jesus' name.